We'd reach climax, but there'd be no fulfillment. And it was always more, always more. And it just wore her out 2 and 3 times a day. Now, when you're at sea 7, 10 times a day, yeah, you come off the sea, it's going to be 2 or 3 times a day. But it was never a fulfilling thing. And so we had to steam up more and read more pornography things to get into that, and you get wilder. And then thank God, the day I got saved, God said no more. And the day I got saved, never picked up pornography again. Just a miraculous thing. Now I can walk in any store and I feel it in the store. You can put me in one of the gas stations blindfolded. Pornography here or not, I usually can tell you if it's there. Because it has these vibes of uncleanness. And you can feel it. And once we move into that realm, then we start fantasizing about false love. And I talk to so many men who are so frustrated with their wife. Because they say their wife just is not submissive in the marital bed. I believe much of it. I'm not going to say all of it because many women have been so wounded too. But much of your wife's lack of submission in a marital bed is because the purity of the Holy Spirit in her can't submit to the unclean spirit within you. And she feels that uncleanness. And you may not be trying to lead her into some wild, extravagant sexual thing that's against her own value system, but just being with you in the marital bed picks up on the fantasy life and the life of lust. And something in her shuts down. And you wonder why there's no satisfaction. It's a spirit-spirit contact. And she feels that sense of uncleanness. You see, each immoral act creates an ungodly soul tie. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 16 and 17, that once you join yourself to a harlot, you become one flesh. There's a bonding. You leave a piece of your life with them, they leave a piece of your life with you, and you move on to another sexual partner, but you keep leaving pieces of your lives with one another, and it's kind of like this, the way I've described it in the past, that here you've got your sexuality, you've got this heart, but every time you have a sexual encounter, I believe, with pornography. Every act with pornography. And the internet. And maybe 16 years old, you lose your virginity. And you don't realize that soul tie of that relationship that lasted 6 months. And you keep giving pieces of yourself away. And then you get in bed with your wife, And there's only a small portion, and you're not happy, and you're not frustrated, and she doesn't meet your sexual appetite. And she feels that imagination going haywire, because when you're in bed with her, your mind is going to other lovers. Your mind's going to the pornographic image. Your mind's going to a lover of the past. And some of the things that they did, some of the cracks, the oral things, or some of the things that brought tremendous gratification to you, but your wife's not willing to participate in that, so you're frustrated with her. This is the judgment that comes down, the lack of marital satisfaction. My wife and I we still consider ourselves very liberated sexually. But we've had to put a boundary system of purity around some of the things in our life. And we've had to literally cast down thoughts and imaginations and walk through ministering to one another and letting others minister to us in the realms of the sexuality and impurity we were involved in the past. And I mean, we were involved in some wild stuff before we came to the Lord. Let me tell you, it was fun, but not satisfying. Big difference. Getting high is fun, but man, it has repercussions of counterfeit affection and bondage. And now that my wife and I have come into a more healthy boundary system, oh my goodness, I mean, it is awesome. It is awesome, the life we have, the fulfillment we have with one another. But see, we had to bring it into the light, and we had to bring it into impurity. purity and even bring it to light with one another. She asked about a year or two ago, that illustration you used at 12 years old, what really happened over those next 5 years? You've never really talked about that. As soon as she said that, you want to talk about that. And I realized, man, I've still got darkness inside of me. Because that's something to even think about. One thing to say at 12 years old you were molested, but to talk about what took place in your life over the next 5 years because of that in detail? But man, when I opened up and I told her, I turned into, you know, a neighborhood circle jerk, you know, and all the things many of us got involved in as teenagers that we thought really weren't affecting us at all. We thought that's all behind us. No, when my wife asked, and boy, you shrivel up. No, that thing is still a shame in me. And it feels a sense of intimacy. And boy, when I got that out of there, and the wife just kind of prayed over that, and I got that thing that had caused so much shame in me through my teenage years and got that out with my wife. It was one thing to talk it with guys here at a ministers conference. Got out of it with my wife. Man, we went into a whole new realm of sexual satisfaction and fulfillment. And my thought life, no provision for the flesh. My thought life no longer would gravitate back to these other women or gravitate back to these pornographic things and images that were there. And I find my thought life coming into a whole new realm of purity. And then it brings greater realm of fulfillment with your wife. And you're no longer comparing your wife to other men's wives. Lust of the eye. Sensuality. Again, the whole lust issues of the mind. Premarital sex. Pornography. Masturbation addiction. And I make a separation between masturbation and masturbation addiction. But driven, compulsiveness in masturbation. Spiritual adultery. All are a dishonor to the marital bed, and God has said that the marital bed is to be undefiled, and the judgment for these sins are a defiled marital bed. No satisfaction with your wife. Your wife not able to come into a bringing you into a place of fulfillment within you. You think she's got the problems when actually you've brought the defilement in the bed. Her spirit is picking up on it, and she's not free to receive from you. Because the purity in her is picking up on the uncleanness in you. It's the judgment. The dissatisfaction. And see, God has called us to possess, in 1 Thessalonians 4, He's called us to possess our body and our soul with purity. To take ownership of it. To stamp it for temple use only. Jack, are you saying you never have a lustful thought or a lust? I'm not saying that. I'm saying I will not allow myself to willfully go there, but when it comes to mind, can you afford to go there? And when we realize, see, here's what sets a person free. You realize, you choose the behavior, you choose the consequences. It doesn't mean thoughts aren't going to come to mind. It means when they come to mind now, you don't, like the African proverb, it's one thing for the bird to land in your hair, it's another thing to let it build a nest. I'm not going to let it sit there. For one thing, well, maybe you don't care about this issue here. For one thing, man, when you don't let it sit there, wait till you, weeks from now, the relationship with your wife. The satisfaction, the fulfillment. Because see, the unclean spirit never satisfied. Unclean spirit is in darkness. Light is silent, doesn't drive you. Darkness, unclean spirit, drivenness, demanding, bring control and manipulation in your relationship with your wife, trying to get more and more, never having enough, never satisfied. And now you begin to control your relationship with her with darkness, two ticks, no dog, intimacy cut off, because you can't have intimacy with someone you're trying to get a need met from. You can only have intimacy met when you're pouring out love unconditionally. That's what causes light and love and humility to flow freely and relationship to flow freely. See, here's where most men are at. And as God is turning up the river and the river is increasing and the flow of God is increasing and increasing, this sensuality and sexuality thing is increasing radically. God wants us to possess our soul with purity, not strongholds constantly opening the doors to deeper darkness. And there is nothing the devil fears more than men possessing their bodies with purity and sanctification. Because when you start possessing this body with purity and sanctification, thought comes in, I'll not let it stay there. I'll get my comfort in God. I'll find my source there. We run to Him. We run to fellowship with Him. The song we sang again, I'm desperate for you. I don't know about you. With my history, I am desperate for Him. Because I know the penalty if I'm not. I know the price my children will pay if I'm not. I can live with what I've had to live with for the rest of my life. But God, don't let my children go through what I've had to go through in my thought life. I've taught my children all this from the time they're 10 years old on. They know everything I've taught you. It's a guard. It's a protection. You choose behavior. You see, you can ruin your life with one choice of darkness. You can cut off intimacy for a lifetime with one choice of darkness. It devastates you. But see, Satan panics when you start moving towards purity because he knows 1 Peter 5:18 that God will keep you and the evil one cannot touch you when you're walking in the light. You choose darkness, got you. You choose light, you've got Him. You've got God flowing through you. Now the road to cleansing, the road to freedom. Number one, you've got, and we made mention of it this weekend, you must be sick and tired of the behavior and the destruction it's bringing to you and your relationship. See this pattern. Write it down. Put it on your mirror. Put it on your car and realize every time I compare my wife to another person, this is what's coming my way. Every time I allow my thoughts to think more about the lady in the office, the person I work next to, the person I minister with, every time I let myself move, that this is what's waiting. And keep in mind, it's your children's also. It's theirs also. And start, man, I can't go there. I can't go there and start taking captive thoughts obedience to captive obedience of Christ and letting God's love, let Him be your source of comfort. Run to Him. As long as you are sympathetic to the issue at all, as long as you're still willing to get your warm fuzzy net through that eye contact, that sympathetic voice, through the lust of the eyes, through the pornography, you'll go back to it time and time again and fight it. You may come to an altar and you may cry and you may weep and you may go through a prayer counseling deliverance session and try to get free, but as long as you realize is when I'm hurting the most, and this is the only place I run, you will end up back in it, and it will get worse, and it'll get worse, and it'll get worse. You've got to know that in the midst of the crisis, it's God's love you run to. It's God's embrace you run to. Peter said this, you've not yet struggled unto blood. You see, part of the overcoming is the struggle. God told the Israelites as they were coming into the land, He says, I will drive out your enemies little by little so that you will be strengthened and possess the land. Not thinking it's just going to be an instantaneous thing, but choice by choice, darkness is going to be driven out of me. Little by little. In the struggle, He's going to strengthen me. He's going to strengthen me. His love is flowing in me. And it's in that struggle He is making a man that's going to be released to pour love into his family's life. Secondly, renounce the hidden works of darkness. We shared that in prayer, I believe, last night, that the word renounce is a biblical word that talks about when you gave your wife a letter of divorce and says you divorce, it says that now I renounce this marital relationship. It means complete separation, never to come back together again. It is a strong, strong word. It's much stronger than confess. Can you confess and not renounce? Can you confess and cry and, oh, forgive me and say all the right things and not renounce? renounces, I'm through with it. I'm through with it. I break the power of this. I renounce it. No more sympathy towards this counterfeit affection. No more sympathy towards this thing that has been giving me the false nurture and the false comfort. And I'll tell you why there's no more sympathy. You've got it written down on that thing. It will destroy you and your family for generations to come. I can't go there. I can't afford to go there, not for a second. Do I still have the thought? Yes, but I'll not go there. No longer building nests in the hair. Man, it'll destroy my children. I got a 21-year-old son, handsome as can be, still a virgin. He's hardly ever been on a date. He's got his heart broke when Pastor Bishop Miles' granddaughter didn't go out with him the other day, but that, you know. But he's never that. This guy is not a fraud. Something's the matter with him. He is not a fraud. We all lost our virginity by 13 or 14 years old. I've got an 18-year-old daughter, beautiful as can be, and she has been tempted. Boy, she's been tempted, and she's had a couple of emotional dependent relationships, and every time it got to stepping over the line, she knew the price. She's got that in her desk, and I review it with her about once a month to remind her. And boy, I mean, she got an emotional relationship or a boyfriend. As soon as they get into that, they get emotionally dependent. And she checks up with me about once every other week, or Mom, and check up with me, let me know, show me that thing, you know, keep me there. Because you choose the behavior. You choose the consequences for you, and it will manifest for your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, because the iniquities of the forefathers are passed down to the third and fourth generation. Or you can say, it stopped here, no more destruction in my family. And then the third one. Let's turn back to 1 John 1, the third and last, and we'll pray. 1 John 1. Let's read verse 7. See this for yourself. If we walk in the light, 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light is something you walk in. Not something you just receive. Not something you look at. It's an everyday walk of your life. If you walk in the light as He's Himself in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What this is saying is, for cleansing to occur, we must become honest with our inward darkness before we become free. Psalm 51:6 says, God desires truth in our inner parts. What walking in the light does is it brings us into accountability. Walking in the light means I'm no longer going to hide this thing. Doesn't mean you go out broadcasting. People say, how can you be so transparent, open, and pour all these things out? Can't afford not to be. It's walking in the light. You may not have to stand in the pulpit and share it in front of a group or in front of hundreds or thousands, but it's no longer a thing you fear hidden. It's no longer a thing you fear somebody might find out, because as long as you fear somebody right now might find out, gotcha. Satan's gotcha. Provision for the flesh. Fear trafficking in that area. But see, once you bring it to the light, once you're willing to find a brother or two. Only reason I'm still in ministry today is because of Pastor Miles' son, Philip. 1984, both pastoring in the city. He started meeting with me for lunch every week, and we've been meeting as often as we can meet, or talking on the phone, even during the times I was on staff with Bishop Miles, and accountability one to another. When he started this process, I hated it. He would come in and we'd go to lunch, and he was just so secure, and we'd sit in my office or his, and he'd sit down and just say, well, you know, this has been going in my relationship, and boy, I've been doing this, and this is how my kids are, and he's sitting here pouring his life out. I'm saying, this guy is weird. What is he doing? I didn't like that. I never heard of it. He said, what are you telling me this for? I want you to pray for me. Man, I was a basket case in those years. He needed to be praying for me. So he'd pour out all of his sins. He'd open his life up. I wouldn't say anything. I'm not this guy's word. But see, he didn't want anything from me. He wasn't trying to manipulate me. He's wanting to just build a relationship of accountability. And God told him and said, you don't help this guy out, he's not going to make it. And we started building that relationship. And we don't let a month go by. He doesn't sit in my study. We sit there and have breakfast together and coffee together in James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you might be healed. And many people are not healed and set free because they don't expose the darkness in their thought life. It's there every day. So Philip and I sit there and we expose the darkness. We've been doing it, or he's been doing it with me since 1984. I've been doing it with him since 1986. But it took me a while to move into that because I was so closed. I'm not going to tell anybody what's going on with me. I'm going to fake it and wear the walls. First sin judged in the New Testament. Realize that thing of hiddenness crucified Jesus. That pretense. So being willing to walk in the light, open that up, having someone to open your heart up and say, pray with me over there. And Philip and I open our heart up to one another, and he shares, or I'll share, and we share back and forth, and then we pray over one another, and it releases light in our relationship. There's no provision for flesh there. There's no provision for Satan to operate. Now, this is nothing new among Promise Keepers. How many have been involved in Promise Keepers? Great organization, but I want to throw something out at you. Promise Keepers has been getting into these accountability situations for years. You've been getting in groups and confessing your faults one to another, praying one for another, yet 1998 survey in Promise Keepers, 62% weekly involved in pornography. It's not working. Why? You're hiding it from your wife. There's still darkness. Now granted, before you can open up and be real with your wife about issues, we're probably going to have to learn to open up and be real with one another as men. So I'm believing for Promise Keepers it's the beginning of where God's leading you to. That you're learning to get in accountability to one another, but hey, you want to take it a step further into real freedom. Time to really sit down with our wives and begin to come to the light with our wives and open up hidden works of darkness. For some, it may be they've never taken step one, and this morning we're going to move into that realm shortly. But I want to close with one story to illustrate the difference with forgiveness and cleansing. I was in a church teaching a conference and was teaching on light and darkness. My wife was there. The pastor's wife came up afterwards and said, can I see you tonight? And we can't wait till the morning. If it waits till morning, I won't talk to you. Well, come on. And she came back to the motel room with us, and she was a friend of ours, someone we'd known for years. Tremendous marriage, I thought. Tremendous heart for hurting and wounded people, and young teenage children. She came and she sat in the room, and she said, in a month I'm leaving my husband as soon as school gets out. We were shocked. She saw the shock on our face. Yes, we have been very good at making everybody believe we have a perfect marriage. But we've been married 15 years, and I can count on two hands the number of times we've been involved sexually. Poor guy. She said, I realize the problem. Our whole marriage is in the foundation of darkness. You see, we met in Bible school. We both were virgins. We were going to keep ourselves pure all the way through Bible school and get married after and go into ministry together. I went home with my father over a Christmas break. My father and I had an argument. He was a very legalistic man. And just to spite him, I went to a bar in our city and I'd never had a drink before. I just turned 21, went to that bar and started having a drink. I was doing it just because my dad always hated people that drank, always preached against it. And so I did what he preached against. Only to find myself at 3 or 4 in the morning waking up in the back seat of my car, my clothes half off, and I had no memory of what really happened. The alcohol just, I wasn't used to it, just wasted it. I went back to Bible school. No one knew. I told no one. I asked God, forgive me, forgive me. Did God forgive her the first time she asked? The forgiveness of sin and cleansing of sin are two different things. Only a few weeks later, she found out she's pregnant. Darkness increases. If you try resolving darkness with darkness, it will multiply. I can't tell my dad, he'll throw me away. He's a legalistic, old holiness man. And can't tell him, I can't tell my boyfriend, he'll reject me. I'm in a holiness Bible school. I can't tell anybody there, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Can't tell anybody, can't open it up. Darkness is increasing. She drove to Atlanta and had an abortion on a Saturday. Told no one. Darkness increasing. She cried all the way back, the 5-6 hours ride back to that campus, begging God to forgive her. Did God forgive her the first time she asked? But forgiveness of sin and cleansing of sin are two different things. She resolved that situation with darkness, graduated 6 months later. Wedding day occurs, and this man of God is thinking he's about to have the greatest day of his life. She goes into the bedroom that night of the wedding day, or in the bathroom, and she tries to wash the stain off, but sexual sins will not wash off. All other sin is outside the body. Sexual sin is a sin against the body. And it would not wash off, and she spent the night crying in the bathroom with the doors locked. She was filled with anger. It just got worse because she couldn't tell him. She lied to him. No, I haven't been sexually abused. Nothing there. He thought he was the problem. How they ended up with 2 children, a very fertile woman, because they had sex about once a year. And it was always forced pretty much by him. God forgave her of her sins the first time she asked, but she still carried the shame of what she had done. And instead of coming to the light, the foundation of that marriage was on darkness. There was no fulfillment in the marriage, no fulfillment emotionally, no fulfillment physically. And we asked, do you love him? Yes, I love him. He is a good man, though we have no relationship together. Would you want the marriage to work if this can be resolved? Yes, I want it to work. Well, you have to go home and tell him. I can't tell him. There's too much shame. There's too much guilt. We're going to pray that God wash and cleanse you. And we prayed Hebrews 10:22 that the sprinkled blood would cleanse her evil conscience and wash her body with the water of the Word. And God just gloriously touched her, and she went home, and God gave her grace, and she told her husband that very story. He broke down crying. God gives grace to the humble, opposed to the proud. He gives grace to those who choose light. Grace, His ability, God's ability to set you free from these bondages. But those that choose darkness, He's opposed to. There can be no liberty. There is no cleansing power of the blood where darkness is. She could not be cleansed. Now she came into humility, and God gave grace to that marriage. He broke down crying, repenting to her for the 15 years of pain went through. He took her into the bathroom, filled it with water, filled it with anointing oil, sat her in the tub and scrubbed her from the head to toe, praying over her, and they had the greatest night of their life. They left the ministry shortly after that to start a restoration ministry for people that had abortion and broken marriages, and God has used them greatly over the years, and they have a lot of great nights of their life now, because now there's fulfillment. But see, forgiveness of sin and cleansing of sin is two different things. And many of you have been forgiven of the immoral sexual sins in the past, but what has happened, you've prayed over them generally. Father, forgive me for the immorality of the past. Is there any general immoral sin? They're all specific. And each one has a specific issue of shame. And many people still carry the shame, and they wonder why they can't flow in intimacy. And God, they wonder why their sexual relationships are so dissatisfying. They wonder why they can't find intimacy in their life. Their hiddenness and shame is causing a wall and a barrier. And God's wanting to wash you. He's wanting to cleanse you. And we're going to pray and minister in 2 ways here today. One, we're going to pray a cleansing prayer from the shame of our physical bodies. We're going to pray that corporately for those that want to pray that. but I'm not going to candy coat it. I'm not going to hide it in any way. Then what I want to do for those who know they have got domains of darkness in them that is robbing them, we want to break up in groups of four and move around in this room. Some of you may have to leave. That's fine. Those that want to stay, we're going to break up in groups of four, and we're going to expose hidden domains of darkness and have God to come in and wash and cleanse these areas. I do this in pastor conferences around the world. Amazing what God does to set people free. Amazing. I get letters from all over the world of people getting free. And if you believe light can dispel darkness, when we move into those groups, get in one of those groups. If you want to be in one where nobody knows you from different states, get in one of those. If you want to get in a group where there's a men's group here and the three or four of you from one church get together and minister one another and pray one another, then get with those that you want to, that you know. But first, if you want to pray a corporate prayer of cleansing, I want you to stand, and we're going to pray this corporately right now. It's going to be a rather lengthy prayer, about 10 minutes. It has tremendous power to it when we pray this prayer. And I want you to keep in mind those verses. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then Hebrews 10:22, the sprinkled blood will cleanse your evil conscience from shame and guilt consciousness and wash your body with the water of the Word. Doesn't have to be emotion. Doesn't have to be tears. It can be a prayer of faith. And pray out loud with me. Just say, Heavenly Father, I come to You in Jesus' name. And that I thank You I can be cleansed through the blood of Christ. I want to be free. I want every darkness broken in my life. And so I come to renounce hidden works of darkness. You want me to lift up holy hands to You. But my hands haven't always felt holy. And so I stretch them out to You right now. Father, You know how I've used my hands. How in the past they've touched unclean things. Through wrong touching. The way I've used my hands to gratify my flesh. I ask You to come and wash my hands right now. Wash them with the water of the Word. Sprinkle them clean with the blood of Jesus. Forgive me for using my hands in sensual ways that caused them to feel defiled and unclean in any way. And now, Father, I give You my mouth. And I give You my tongue. I renounce all uncleanness that's entered in through the gate of my mouth. Things my lips have touched. Words that my tongue has spoken. All uncleanness of speech. Just wash my mouth and cleanse it right now. Let Your light flood in, dispelling all the darkness that's come in through my speech, through my lips, through my tongue. And Father, I give You my eyes. Unclean things I've looked upon. Unclean images of the past. Pornography. Lust of the eyes. Comparisons of women. I ask You to forgive me right now. And let Your light flood the eye gate. And dispel any darkness that's come in. I refuse for my eyes to be bound any longer. But I choose to take every thought captive. And not let darkness come in any longer. And Father, I give You my ears. Unclean things I've listened to. I renounce the sins of listening to gossip and evil reports. I renounce all darkness that's come in through the ear gate. And I break the curse from names people have called me. Unclean language. Darkness that's come in through the ear gate. I break the power off of me right now. And I receive your light flooding my ear gate. And now, Father, I give you my mind. And ask your light to flood through all the thoughts and imagination. Just washing my mind with the water of the Word. The blood of Jesus cleansing my mind of evil imagination. I renounce shame. I renounce self-condemnation. I renounce the lustful thoughts in the mind. And I choose to take my thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. I renounce the fantasies and comparison. And renounce all imaginations that open the door to darkness. And I receive your light cleansing me right now. And now I bring you my body, my sexuality. And I ask you to forgive me for using my body to gratify my lust. For using my body as a source of counterfeit affection. Now wash my body from all unhealthy desires. All ways that my body was used in unclean ways. Just wash it with the water of the Word. I loose myself from the uncleanness as the water of the Word washes me and cleanses my sexuality. I refuse for my sexuality to be bound any longer. And I renounce counterfeit affection. Renounce the lust of the eyes. And I bring you my marital bed. Forgive me for defiling the marital bed with thoughts and comparisons of others. Bringing in the soul ties of the past. And I just break that off of my marital bed. And just let your river flow. Just washing my marital bed with the water of the Word. And bringing my relationship with my wife into purity and cleansing. Forgive me for defiling my wife. For blaming her for not submitting to my uncleanness. I place the cross between her and I. The cross filter out the shame. And just wash and cleanse her. Washing and cleansing our marital bed. And now restore me to the joy and the excitement of sexuality. Let it be in purity. I choose to possess the temple of the Holy Ghost. To possess it with honor and sanctification. And stamp upon my mind. Stamp upon my eye. For temple use only. Not for uncleanness any longer. Because I long for purity so that I can experience greater intimacy. And Father, you know the love need I have. I confess I'm desperate for you. I need your love to penetrate my character. Penetrate my personality. Penetrate my motives. That I might be motivated by your love. And no longer by personal need. And now I come and ask you to restore me to complete childhood innocence. So that it will be as an innocent child with his dad. And I say to you, Dad, here I am. I choose to be your child. I choose for you to be my dad. And I receive you today. And I receive your love. Now I renounce the false love, and I choose the genuine love. Your love flowing through me. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would like to order this tape set or any of the other material available at Shiloh Place Ministries, you may reach us at area code 843-381-0007 or write to us at Shiloh Place Ministries, Post Office Box 5, Conway, South Carolina, 29528. Either way, we'd love to hear from you. For our friends comfortable with a computer, log on to our website for the latest Shiloh Place itinerary and news at www.shilohplace.org. Or you may email us at info@shilohplace.org.